This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Welcome once again to Chill Filtered, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. On today's episode, we are drinking Thomas H. Handy Vintage 2016. It's a rye from Buffalo Trace, the antique collection, and it's going to be delicious. Before we get to that, though, we need to get down to just a little bit of business. Thank you for tuning in. Please hit the subscribe button and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts app or iTunes or wherever you're listening to this from. That helps so much. Also, if you want to play a bigger part in what we do, maybe want to buy us a bottle that we can review for you, you can head to patreon.com/chillfiltered. And that's the business. Here's the podcast. Cole, here we are once again, prepared to drink exceptionally great whiskey.
Oh, yes.
Especially on today's episode. One of my favorite whiskeys that I've ever had. I don't think I've had the 2016 vintage of this, but how are you? You've started school. Yep. You're kind of getting into the rhythm of that. How's that going?
Yeah, it's good. I had three classes today and kind of like a discussion type thing today. So, and it's already over by a reasonable time of the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been good. Nothing too hard has hit. In terms of like hard homework,
I would hope not yet.
Yeah,
I mean, you're still getting into it.
Two classes, like of each class, so it's not too crazy.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's good.
We're doing something special today for the first time. We're recording on video the whole episode that we're doing. So I've got my camera here. You just winked at your camera
twice.
so. That'll be interesting. We'll see how this turns out. We'll see if this is something that we regularly do.
Yeah.
I think we'll record on video this episode and then maybe next week's episode as well. So listeners, if you're listening to this and you want to see us recording and see the whiskey and all that, you know, on video, you need to head over to our Facebook page just by searching Chill Filtered on Facebook. It'll be on YouTube if you search Chill Filtered Podcast and things like that. But the easiest way is to find us on Facebook. It'll be posted there. So yeah, I'm excited. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how often we'll do this just because it's a little bit extra work for me.
For sure.
As far as editing goes, since I'm the editor of this here shindig. But yeah, so I'm excited that we're doing that. But you said school's going well.
Yeah.
I know that you're leaving town this weekend.
Going to the land of my people.
Philadelphia.
That's correct. Yeah. Or just a little north of town. But I got a wedding this weekend. I'm excited. So
any whiskey adventures going to be happening this weekend?
You know, I really wanted to bring some bottles to a friend that now lives there. In fact, rum, it was the bottle that this dude I know really loves. And I have access to the rum he loves the most, which he doesn't. So I was hoping to bring that, but I don't have a carry, or I don't have a checked bag.
Oh, okay.
So I probably won't be able to.
Yeah.
But while I'm out there, I'm hoping to chill with my sister Amanda, and I really hope we can go to like a whiskey bar or something like that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. What about you?
Not much is going on. I've been sick this week.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't been at work yet this week.
Trade-off.
I know. Yeah, because you were sick last week.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but no, I've just been relaxing and getting some stuff done that I've been neglecting, but trying to not push myself too much because I am sick. But then I'm gearing up. It's my birthday this month.
Yeah.
Is it your anniversary this month?
The day after your birthday.
The day after my birthday. So it's my birthday this month. At the end of the month, I'm going to Texas. So I'm kind of like preparing for that.
What city again?
Dallas. My cousin and his wife live in Dallas.
Nice.
And growing up, my cousin was like my brother.
Oh, cool.
And so he and his wife just had a baby.
Oh, that's great.
And so I'm going just to really honestly just to see the baby. I mean, that's not the only reason I'm going, but I'm hoping to find some whiskey that I would like to drink and things like that there. But
Texas has good options.
Yeah,
I've tried out a few liquor stores in like San Antonio and stuff, and they got good independent stores and stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, bring that mic up to your mouth.
Yes, sir.
You know, you don't have to lean into it. You can bring it to you.
And it's here.
That's right.
People always compliment our podcast on the audio quality.
I know. I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I have spent thousands of dollars on audio equipment. Yeah. So
I mean, like, I'll listen to podcasts with over 1,000 episodes, and they don't have as good audio as we do.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know, I do what I can.
You're a pretty good man.
So yeah, Dallas is coming up for me.
That's cool.
But that's the biggest thing that I, well, you know, I talked about last week, I had a meeting with a,
oh man, I forgot to bring that up.
A company, a local company. They have hired me to produce 12 episodes of a podcast for them.
Congrats.
Thank you. I'm actually really excited about that. That would be. We're still kind of working out exactly what it's going to look like, but we have most of it, you know, framed out. And then I probably within the next couple months we'll start producing. They want to start their first episode in January of 2019.
Wow.
So we'll start getting that done. That's really exciting for me, at least.
Seriously, that's like a goal achieved.
You know, at the beginning of Chill Filtered, you always hear that this is a Mortarbox Media podcast, and that's the company that I started where I'm trying to do podcasts for businesses or just people that want to do podcasts, but they don't have the equipment or the know-how. So it'll be a Mortarbox Media produced podcast. For sure. But yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Getting the name out.
That's right. So today we're drinking Thomas H. Handy, which is part of the BTAC.
Yep.
You know, the Antique Buffalo Trace Collection.
Yep.
And I'm really excited about that. But before we get to the whiskey, what do you say we take a quick break? All right, back from break, and we're here on Chill Filtered. Cole, tell us all about what we're going to be drinking today.
Yeah, so like you said, part of the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection, we're drinking Thomas H. Handy Sazerac Rye Whiskey. This vintage is 2016, and it is... So I think we mentioned in previous episodes that it has a the exact same mash bill as Baby Saz, Saz 6, or just Sazerac Rye that put out by Buffalo Trace. The crazy thing is it's not aged much longer at all, as we mentioned previously. It's it's Saz 6 is about 6 years on the dot, or it is at least 6 years on the dot, so right around six. Thomas H. Handy Sazerac is 6.5. It's crazy.
I know, it's not that much longer.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
Yeah. And so what they don't, you know, the difference is that they cut Baby Saz to, I believe it's 90 proof. And then Thomas H. Handy, they just leave barrel proof. And it's uncut, unfiltered. And what else am I thinking? So, do you know the other rye in the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection? Do you know which one that is?
I'm sorry, I was distracted. I was trying to get something to work. Say that question again.
So, do you know what the other rye in the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection is?
Is it the 18?
Yep, just Sazerac 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's kind of cool. You got these two Sazerac ryes, but one is 6.5 years and one's 18 years.
Okay.
The same year, in fact, I want to talk about Saz 18 for a second. The same year, an 18-year-old rye loses a lot to evaporation over those 18 years.
Sure.
And actually, for the Handy in particular, I'm not sure about the Sazerac 18, but the Handy, they put it on the top floors of the rick houses, basically, which means it's hotter. Okay. I mean, these Kentucky summers, like the heat rises to the top of these storehouses and, you know, you lose a lot more in evaporation because of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Saz 18, but Saz 18 that same year, the 2016 vintage, lost 72.1% in evaporation loss, which is just crazy to me. So you imagine like 28-ish percent of what you originally put in the barrel is there.
Yeah.
And it's hot, but they do cut it. I believe Sazerac 18 is 90 proof as well.
Okay.
But it is just glorious in the age, the oak. It's not overwhelmingly oak. Typically what I've had, I love Sazerac 18. My friend Trevor, who I wrote the Whiskey Goals blog with,
WhiskeyGoals.com.
Yeah, that's right. He preferred Handy, and I prefer Saz 18, but it's been a while. It's been like a good 3 years since we really put them up next to each other.
Yeah.
But I always refer to Thomas H. Handy as just a bus of rye. Like, you're just getting hit on the road by a metro transportation bus, and you're thrown to the ground. I mean, it is really strong, and it's really surprising that a 6.5-year-old cask strength is as packed a punch as this one is. I looked into some history. I mean, do we want to talk about that now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I looked into some history about who Thomas H. Handy was. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting, actually.
Yeah, because I have no clue
yeah, who this is named after.
So if you go to like Buffalo Trace's website, they typically say like notable people on the website. Like they'll talk about George T. Stagg, or they'll talk about Colonel E. H. Taylor, or the Blanton's guy. I believe his name is Albert Blanton or something like that. They talk about Elmer T. Lee. They talk about Harlan Wheatley, who the last two at least were master distillers there.
Yeah.
And just big deals in the Buffalo Trace kind of line. And so this is a Buffalo Trace product, but Thomas H. Handy is not on that list. And it looks like he wasn't like, I mean, he was like a whiskey fanatic and like kind of into that stuff. But originally in about 1850 or so, there was this bar in New Orleans. And have you ever heard of the Sazerac cocktail?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite cocktails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so do you know the origin of the Sazerac cocktail was actually not so much like American?
No.
It was it sort of was. It really was. But actually, I take that back. The spirit was not American.
Okay.
So it used to be cognac. They used to use instead of rye whiskey.
Yeah.
And so when I worked at the bar, here was my recipe for a Sazerac cocktail. I did 1/2 to 3/4 ounce of simple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
I did, of course, a lemon peel. I did 8 dashes of Pequod bitters, owned by Sazerac Company. and then I did 1.5 ounces of rye. Specifically, if I could have it on the shelf, it would be Sazerac rye, the baby Saz.
Yeah.
And am I missing? Oh, yeah. And then rinse the glass, chill the glass, and then rinse it with either absinthe, but I use Herb Saint sometimes, which is really good. It was very licorice-y, as a Sazerac cocktail can be.
Yeah.
So that being my recipe, that was different than the original recipe, which they used cognac, a variety of brandy.
Yeah.
And so one in the mid 1800s, there was what's called the Great Wine Blight of the mid 1800s.
The Great Wine Blight.
Yeah. And do you know what blight is?
Like, I don't know, a blight on your record is like a blemish.
Yeah. And so actually what that is in, think about that in the farm and agriculture world.
Uh-huh.
It would be like disease.
Okay,
sure. It's like a mark. And blight originally means like a marking on something, but usually that was because fungus or disease were on the actual plant.
Sure.
And so there, in the wine grapes, especially in France, there was this huge, what do you call this? Surplus, and then what's under a surplus? A shortage.
Yeah.
Huge shortage of grapes. And brandy is made from grapes. So that basically in New Orleans at this Sazerac coffee house, they're running out, which was actually a bar. It wasn't so much a coffee house as it was a bar. They're running out of brandy, in fact, cognac. And they're like, what do we do? So they're like, well, we got American whiskey here. Let's add some rye to it and make it a thing.
I believe it.
Yeah. And I mean, look at what Wisconsin did with old fashions is what, the Sazerac coffee house in New Orleans did with the lack of... the Sazerac cocktail and the lack of brandy. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like, and for those of you out there that don't know, the Wisconsin standard for a old fashioned is a
brandy old fashioned.
Brandy old fashioned, which is really weird for me because I'd never heard of it until I got here.
Because it's normally bourbon, right?
It's normally bourbon.
Yeah.
Maybe rye, but typically bourbon is number one.
Yeah. No, it's always got to be brandy for me.
Yeah. It's weird.
And you know, it's so funny. I can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's night and day.
So I was talking to someone at an event recently, and they were giving me their recipe of their old fashioned, and they're like huge into making old fashions. Like whenever they entertain, they like make whoever they can an old fashioned. And I had him over one time a few months ago, and I offered him a whiskey old fashioned. He's like, still haven't had that to this day. And I'm like, what in the world? Like you serve these all the time, but they're only brandy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, Korbel,
the
brandy manufacturer or distiller, they have at their distillery, they have, is it distillery? Is
that right? Yeah, it would be distillery for cognac or brandy.
They have their docks, their shipping docks. They have East Coast, West Coast, and Wisconsin.
That is
correct.
They
have three docks. Because I think Wisconsin makes up 40% of their share, of their market share.
Insane.
Yeah.
That
so
like,
we believe in brandy here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. So when you think of the Sazerac Coffee House, that was owned by Thomas H. Handy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's the kind of the story. And actually, he was credited with the change of cocktail
Sure.
From cognac to rye.
Yeah.
And so he was kind of the apparently, so they say, yeah, he was the guy who set it up. And since then, the Sazerac Company has progressed. The Sazerac Coffee House became the Sazerac Company over time. They acquired a lot of cool distilleries and a lot of cool brands.
Yeah.
And the one we are talking about today is Buffalo Trace, who mm-hmm. makes this product. Do you know any other brands under the Sazerac Company?
Under the Sazerac? No, I don't. I just
so
won't.
The yeah. two or the three big ones, as we mentioned, Buffalo Trace,
yeah.
Barton, 1792,
okay.
which is the one that had that huge accident yeah. recently with the storehouse. And then the other big one is A. Smith Bowman or Bowman Brothers, sure. basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's in Fredericksburg, Virginia,
okay.
Which was not too far from where I used to live. And actually, what they say is that all the juice for Bowman comes from Buffalo Trace.
So
they say they source it, but it's all kind of all in the family. There.
Yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Two other brands that are very interesting under the Sazerac name is they acquired what's it called, Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
Sure.
And the other big one is Southern Comfort. They own Southern Comfort.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think they try to distance themselves in a little. I mean, they make money off of them because Fireball is probably one of the highest producing or highest selling whiskeys.
It's super popular yeah. amongst college students yeah.
For some reason.
So, you know, it's funny. You go into Total Wine. I think we've talked about this before. Mm. You go into Total Wine and there's tons of different varieties of cinnamon whiskey oh, yeah. that are just trying to trade in on that Fireball name.
Yeah. So. It's like, what is it? Jim Beam Fire or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, they've got that. Yeah. Yeah. And there's yeah. a lot of little, like, micro distilleries that are doing the same kind of thing.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, one time I did really enjoy Fireball, it was with cider, like hard cider.
Yeah.
And a little bit of sweet and sour mix.
Interesting.
It was fantastic.
I don't like red hots, so.
Oh, you wouldn't.
It's not my jam.
It was a nice mixture of that cider and a little bit of spice, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see not everyone enjoying it for sure. But I was like, dang, I can drink this.
So, besides being the owner yeah. of this cafe, can you tell me anything else about the man, Thomas H. Handy?
Not too much. Apparently, I don't know if he, I think he was more like a bartender kind of guy as okay. well as being the owner, but yeah. from what I got, there wasn't too much about him. I looked up on Google, like, Thomas H. Handy bio, and there was, like, nothing related to the dude as much as there was the actual drink that we're drinking today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. But what else am I thinking? Yeah, that's pretty much everything I got. Yeah, there's a lot behind the Sazerac
well, cool.
name there.
I feel informed enough. Good. That I can finally take a drink of this. I have had the Thomas H. Handy
2017,
mm-hmm. I think, with you at Cask and Ale here in Madison, yeah. But I have not had the 2016. I don't think I remember enough about it to be able to tell if there's going to be a difference.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a difference. You know, last week we did the batch 3 versus yeah. batch 10 of Stag Junior. There was a difference, so yeah. I'm sure there would be a difference here. But so I feel good about yeah. learning. But before we get to tasting, what do you say we take another quick break? Once again, back from break here on Chill Filtered, and we're going to get to actually drinking the drink that we're talking about today. Unfortunately, today, the pour is not coming from a bottle so that will have a cork, so we won't hear the bloop.
Yeah.
But Cole, if you want to hold up to your camera yeah. the whiskey, and maybe even bring it a little further yeah. than that. Yep.
These are my 2.5 ounce sample bottles.
Yeah, those are the colors. So it's a screw top.
Yep.
That Cole, you got this from your buddy in Colorado. Yep.
This is from Trevor.
Trevor.
So we our first year of writing whiskeygoals.com, we made some really good connections. And that first year, we got William Larue Weller, a drink that we'll be drinking in the next few episodes,
yeah.
probably in the next 10 or so. And then the other one we got was Pappy 15 year.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, we still had those great connections, and Trevor was hooked up after I had moved. I had been in Virginia at the time, but Trevor was hooked up with, because of those great connections, Thomas H. Handy 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is, you know, a testament to making relationships in the whiskey world.
That's right.
But yeah, so when I went in July, I visited Trevor. I was like, hey, man, can I fill up my sample bottle?
You're like, hey, man. I'm doing this thing called Chill Filtered, and we need some whiskey to drink.
Yep. So. And he was very willing. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I almost got some George T. Stagg while I was out there.
Oh,
but
really?
I did not have a funnel, and I was dying. I mean, I had it. I tasted it, but I couldn't bring it back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was amazing. So, no, yeah, this one...
we won't hold it against you too much.
No. But...
working, it would have been really nice to follow up the Stagg Jr. episode with some George T. Stagg, but I guess you just don't care.
Yeah. Well, I also didn't get any Weller that I was hoping to get yesterday. Yeah. That's a long story.
Yeah.
But what do you say we pour this? I'll squeak open the little sample bottle.
That's right.
I got to make this even because this is going to be so worthy.
I know. So he's pouring. We've got some new glasses that we haven't been using a whole lot. So you're kind of like...
I'm eyeing it.
Yeah, it's a little tougher, especially coming from a little bottle. It's harder to do, I feel like. But
all right, I'm just going to...
You're doing a pretty good job.
Okay, good. Yeah, you wanna make the best... You know, I would be upset if I got the smaller bottle here. Oh, it smells
well,
on my
fingers.
Well,
one of those is definitely less than the other.
Oh, is it really?
It's okay. Give me the less. It's the one in your right hand.
No.
That's about right. Yep. That's about right. Okay.
There we go. So these nice little Glencairn glasses. I'm actually going to warm it. Cask strengths can be really good hand warmed. So I learned I learned this from Jim Murray, the big whiskey reviewer. He mentions in the beginning of his whiskey Bibles is to kind of get a nice firm grip on the bottom of the Glencairn to hand warm it. And do you remember when we tried... I liked a lot Knob Creek's barrel proof rye.
Yeah.
But when I hand warmed it, it was substantially better.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I liked it both ways, but the hand warm was like, holy cow. So I like to think cask strengths taste a lot better with a little bit of warmth in them.
So. I guess I don't know.
What are you getting off the nose for here?
Caramel apple.
Ooh, I can smell that even from here. I got some on my fingers, and that's like a blessing when you're...
a little bit of leather.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go in for the smell. But I think I got enough.
I think mostly it's that caramel apple for me.
Yeah, I'm getting this strong too. A little bit of really sweet apple though.
Yes,
like
yes,
I'm not just talking about like Granny Smith,
which is interesting because normally you think really sweet would be bourbon.
Yeah, I'm getting
It's almost like apple flavoring mm-hmm. in a candy. It's the kind of caramel apple-y smell that those green caramel apple suckers would have.
Yep. Yeah, almost candy-like. Yeah. And typically, I always say ryes are very candy-like, especially aged rye or like powerful ryes.
Sure.
I'm getting a little bit of berries, but I couldn't tell you what kind of berry. Like almost like as if you mashed blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, and all the berries into one.
Maybe I'm getting a little blueberry, but not much, I don't think.
But that caramel is there, like a really, or almost like a candy apple, not even just a caramel apple, but one of those like red ones that has
apple. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So go for the sip and I'll, so we always talk about a little bit of the color here. And usually when Adam's sipping and is quiet, I like to talk about it. It is dark. Cask strengths typically are dark, but it's not too dark. It's not, crazy. I'm getting a little particulate I see in there, which is part of the uncut, unfiltered part of it. But did you like that sip? Don't tell me you didn't get a good taste.
Oh, no, I did.
Oh, good.
That is rich.
Yes.
It's so rich and good and smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's definitely got that heat of a cask strength.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's like candy. It really is like candy.
Oh, my goodness. And the heat's not overpowering.
No.
My tongue is not dying. It fades for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, after sipping like probably 10 seconds ago, it is still candy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always said this, that like, bourbons can be like a chewy caramel.
Yeah.
And these are like a hard candy. Like, you know how
a chewy caramel... That's a perfect description.
Yeah. I mean, chewy caramels won't even fade. Like, if you have a caramel and you're, you know, kind of just chewing at that, it doesn't as much fade as the same way a hard candy would. And I figure that's kind of like this. I mean, the barrel proof is so good. And when I say buzz, I'm not as scared of this bus as I have been about previous releases of Thomas H. Handy. This is so pleasing. I'm trying to catch some notes, like just on the palate. Besides, I mean, that caramel apple's there. Let me and the candy.
It was
is
really
there.
Candy. It was very much like candy.
I think that's candid.
That's the main note that get on the palate.
I think that's the first time I coughed on this show. So good though.
Don't you want to curse about that?
Oh man, darn it!
I added a couple of drops of distilled
I'm about to
water
go for that myself. Oh, it's gonna be hard to do, but it might improve it.
The nose is actually a little chalky now.
Oh. I'm glad chalky's a thing, because I mentioned that last week.
You did.
And I was like, am I crazy for thinking that? But it's always nice to get a little validation in the tasting notes.
It's kind of chalky now, and then I'm also getting one of my favorite notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either it's apple-y to me, or one of my other
pancakes?
Favorite notes is pancakes or maple syrup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, it smells just as good, but it does smell a little chalky.
So the beauty of this is that it is very close to the exact same setup as Baby Saz. So if we water it down, heck, if we water it down to 90 proof, it's still going to be a great rye, theoretically. So what do you think of that little sample with the drops?
I actually think that was better. Ooh.
I might be with you.
Ooh, I'm getting some cinnamon now.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Wow, it's like
spicy comes out a little more.
It's very cinnamony.
Oh, I hate to say it, but it might be a little better. And
it's definitely more palatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's three times better than Baby Saz, which I love Baby Saz.
I'm going to drop a cube in there.
Oh, my goodness. It is so good.
If I can get one out of this freaking bowl.
You know, maybe you agree with me, but did the finish last as long with a few drops in there?
I mean, it's still going for me.
Yeah. I feel like it lasted not as long.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a little more candy.
The strongest note that I got on that palate with the distilled water was cinnamon. It almost tasted like Fireball, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's that, you know, when they say rye spice. Actually, you'll read tasting notes on stuff and they won't even like go into it. They'll be like, and that rye spice.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a thing, you know, it's legitimately a thing.
If you're in the whiskey world, you know what that rye spice tastes like and what they're referencing there. How's that taste with the ice cube? Did you even smell it once the ice cube was in?
It's fantastic taste. I didn't even smell it. Oh,
it's about the same smell as with the distilled water.
This might be the first rye or bourbon that I don't know if I prefer it with the ice. I might very well prefer it with the ice. It's good.
I like that you just said, I don't know if I prefer it with the ice. I might prefer it with the ice.
Well, that's still unsure. Oh, it's good though. Oh, let me take the nose for a second while you sip. Yeah, the nose is still there. This is just fantastic. This is one of those bottles that I could happily drink anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't put it in a cocktail, but any other way. Because like a cocktail, I mean, this bottle, we didn't even talk about the retailer market. Retail's 80.
Yeah.
Market is between 400 and 800 typically, depending on the year. Some years are much more valuable than others, but this one is good.
I will tell you that with an ice cube, this is something that I could sip for hours.
Mm.
It's good anyway.
Oh my goodness.
You're right that this is a whiskey that I could drink anyway.
How would you describe the oak in this one?
I don't know, Cole.
No, would you say it's powerful? Would you say
not
it's
really
light? Yeah, I would say the same. There's not much oak to
it. It's not overpowering at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost they're non-present, which I have no problem with. Usually oak, sometimes too much oak can really distract me from the rest of the actual drink. Oh my goodness, this is so good. Mm. So, how'd it go with that last little sip with the dilution?
It's so good.
Oh my goodness.
Because here, I can tell that it's been diluted quite a bit now because my ice cube is almost all the way melted.
Yeah.
But I still get a tiny little bit of tongue burn.
Mm-hmm.
I can still tell that it's a high proof alcohol.
Wow.
And all of the flavors are still there.
Oh my goodness. And they're just spread out in a different way.
And you know, some whiskeys, when you dilute, you know, we've already diluted it with distilled water. Now we've diluted it even more with ice.
Yeah.
Some of these whiskeys will lose flavor because of that. This has not lost any flavor at all.
I feel like they took the flavor like a rubber band or like something rubber and stretched it out. You know what I mean? Like it covers more.
No, I don't know what you mean.
So here's how I look at it is like if you drink it neat, it'll be this dense little blob of awesome flavor.
Sure.
But when you add ice, it kind of stretches it out and kind of expands it all, opens it up. I guess that's kind of the word I was going for, but it opens it up. The flavor is all still there, and yet it's a little more palatable, a little more present, a little more, a little slower, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I got you.
It affects you in a slower way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, the antique collection has quite the pomp.
What all is in the antique collection?
So, the bourbons, you got William LaRue Weller.
Yep.
It is a cask-strength weeded bourbon. You have George T. Stagg, which is also a cask-strength, but this one is a rye recipe bourbon. And the other one is Eagle Rare 17, mm-hmm. rye recipe bourbon, but it's 90 proof, and it's 17 years old.
Okay.
And then the other two are the Sazerac 18 and the Thomas H. Handy. And so they have a lot of pomp to them. In fact, those who collect whiskey typically don't, like the real collectors I found really aren't too much into finding Pappy. Pappy's kind of that hype that's not always worth the hype. It is good. Don't get me wrong. Pappy is fantastic. But the real collectors tend to go, if between the two, they're going to go for the antique collection bottles.
Yeah.
And but the funny thing is, 6.5 years, if they just put this out, I mean, I have a feeling if they put this out as easily as they put out Baby Saz, mm-hmm. it would be too good for the world to even handle. Like for that, I just think, like, why wouldn't they do that? It's only 6.5 years old and they just don't cut it. And it's like, I feel like the world isn't ready for that. That's just what I think. Going for this last soap.
I don't know, man. I mean, if I can get this all day for $80, I would keep this on my shelf all the time.
You know I would probably not drink much else.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's very good.
My goodness. And that with ice. And you know, I didn't expect that.
As a person, as a guy who likes rye,
yeah,
this is very good.
So we've talked about what are the ryes we've drank? Did yeah, you heard me. Drank it.
Whistlepig Old World.
Whistlepig Old World.
We had the Knob Creek cask strength. Knob Creek
cask. And
I'm trying to think of everything else that we've done. We've had to have more rye than
Baby
that.
Says we had in the vault
episodes. The lost episodes.
Yeah. And then,
we had to have more than just the two.
There was totally another rye in there.
Let's see.
It's going to hit me.
Redemption rye.
Redemption's one.
That might be it.
So that's I know all of them. That you have had the Kentucky Owl Batch 2, which is the only owl we've both had in the rye department.
Yeah.
How would you compare it?
I think Kentucky Owl is better.
Really?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kentucky Owl has a sweeter richness.
It does. And it very much has more candy than this does.
Yeah.
But I really like that cask strength. I don't know which one I'd choose. I'm kind of tied.
Is Kentucky Owl not cask strength?
No. Oh, no, it is. It's like 112 or something like that. But this is 120. Six.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's
well,
good.
Let's not compare it to another whiskey.
Yeah.
Let's give it a rating.
Oh, man.
So what are you going to give this one as a rating?
9.2. 9.3.
9.3. Yeah, is that the highest so you've good. Done?
No, I think the Colonel E.H. Taylor 4 grain got like a 9.6
or I was
going to
say
9.7, like
I think you did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would give this a 9.3. Absolutely.
I'd give this... Man, I hate that we're always so close.
Yeah. But at least we think about it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I would give this a 9.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a really good whiskey. It's a really great rye.
I just sip every little thing of
I'm sad that little bottle you brought is gone.
Well, there is a drop left. Oh, two drops.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
you'll have to savor those some celebration night.
From the bottle. Worth it.
See, to me, like a small amount like that is... almost too little. It's so little that it wouldn't be good.
Oh, it's still good.
Good.
Not as good, but it was still good.
So you say 9.3 and I say a 9. So once again, we're pretty close to each other and what we're doing. Listeners, if you want to taste this whiskey, especially the 2016 vintage. Again, you're looking to pay what on the secondary market? Oh,
definitely between $400 and $800. I forget what the 16, the vintage 2016 would typically run for, but I would say somewhere around 5 to 6.
Why did you just say 400 to 800 and then 5 to 6?
Depending on the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
I don't know what the Handy 16 goes for as much as the others, but when I go online and might check out those market values, yeah. I likely see between 4 and 8.
Sure.
Yeah.
However, the BTAC collection is just about to be released this year.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the bourbon season here.
Usually mid, within a week of mid-September, they will...
So right around this time that this episode's coming out.
They'll release the notes.
Yeah.
And then they'll start releasing it.
Sure. Yeah. So when that happens, listeners, if this has sounded good to you, you can expect to pay retail, what did you say, about retail, $80?
$80 to $100.
Sure.
Usually never less than 80. And it is hard to find.
Yeah.
Very hard to find.
People
wait in line.
You got to have that relationship.
Kind of
This is the kind of whiskey that you have to have the relationship with your liquor store, or the liquor store that you're going to does a lottery.
Yep.
Exactly. So good luck, getting Thomas H.
And
Handy.
If you do, awesome.
But yeah. And the other thing is, if you really want to taste this whiskey, you can. You can go out to a whiskey bar and pay for it, which is what I did to taste the 2017. It was about $30 for an ounce.
Yeah.
But
do you know what the one I did was?
Which, I mean,
at least 120. I want to say it was like 140 pour for an ounce and a half.
Oh, that's crazy. I would never pay I think 30 is like the most I would pay for a pour of whiskey.
The most I've ever spent was 69. And that was Jefferson's Presidential Bourbon, 25 year, I believe.
Well, that's disgusting. Okay. I loved this whiskey, and I love that you got it for us to have on the podcast.
It's a good one.
But you know what I love most?
What do you love?
I love Whiskey World News. All right, here on Chill Filtered, one of our favorite segments is Whiskey World News, where we will read an article written by somebody else, and it's about whiskey. We're going to read it and kind of talk about it, but we always want to make sure that we're not claiming that this is our original content as far as the article goes. So this is from Fortune, but it's interesting. I have also the website says timeinc.net, but the article says it's from Fortune.
Maybe the same company.
Yeah. The title of the article is Macallan owner Edrington makes its first foray into American whiskey, and it is written by Emily Price, who I believe we've read a couple articles by Emily Price before. So again, this is from Fortune, timeinc.net. The title is Macallan owner Edrington makes its first foray into American whiskey, written by Emily Price. So we'll read a little bit of this and maybe talk about it. Edrington, the parent company of popular whiskey brands such as Macallan, Highland Park, and the famous Grouse, is making its first foray into the American whiskey market through a new partnership with Wyoming Whiskey.
Oh, wow.
No financial details regarding the arrangement were disclosed. Starting this week, Edrington, whose portfolio previously existed exclusively overseas, will take control of all of the U.S. distillery's sales and marketing efforts, as well as handle distribution for the brand's products. We're pleased to be partnering with the Mead family to bring Wyoming whiskey into the Edrington portfolio. This deal is a further step towards becoming the world's leading premium spirits company and adds to a brilliant year in which we opened our award-winning distillery and brand home for the Macallan, Edrington CEO Ian Curl said in a statement. Wyoming whiskey will continue to be made in Kerb, Wyoming, using Wyoming grains and water from the Mile Deep limestone aquifer. Aquifer? Something. That's the whole article. But what do you think of this? You know, Macallan is, I assume, Edrington, I don't know, but I assume that's UK-based, you know?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Edredor. They're probably big Scotland/ UK.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially just based on the name, I would imagine that Edrington is Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think about this? Do you feel encroached upon at all? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I know Brown Forman owns some scotches.
It is based in Scotland.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think that's been done before. I think we even maybe mentioned it. Some foreign brands. Oh, I mean, we've definitely mentioned Suntory owning Beam.
Well, that and
what is the other one I'm thinking of?
The Louis Vuitton thing that we talked about that owns. I can't remember which one it was, but.
Yeah, but it was American whiskey, I believe.
It's just interesting. It? Yeah. You know, you've got these companies that are well established, mm-hmm. going and reaching and going, yeah. Okay, well, we're kind of noticing what you're doing over here, yeah. in America, and we want to bring that into the fold of what we're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel robbed at all as an American? You know me. I'm not this huge hoorah America, yeah. kind of guy, but there is a part of me that goes like, come on, this is ours.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, when I see Beam got bought out by a Japanese company, I think, oh, well, you know, Suntory is an amazing company.
Yeah.
And I feel good about that. And Beam's great. And actually, they have fantastic products. But for, if you told me that, this company bought out one of my favorite distilleries, Buffalo Trace or even what's the other, Woodford or something like that. I would be a little weirded, or not, I would feel it in my heart. I'd be oh man, that's crazy. But especially if it were some weak sauce company, but the fact that it's Macallan, I don't feel terrible about. And the fact that it's Wyoming whiskey, I don't feel terrible about. They're a good company. Sure. Wyoming whiskey. But I think Macallan's this epic on the same level as Suntory.
Yeah.
Of my respect at least. And I, you know, if it were a lesser company buying out a bigger company in America, I would feel weird, but I feel like that's great, you know? But if they bought out everything we made, every big distillery, I would feel oh man, do we have any say in this?
Yeah.
But that's part of the bourbon pride and the rye pride is saying this is American.
What do you think as far as what could be positive about this merger?
I think they could probably perfect their product. Macallan's been doing it for years. They put out some of the most expensive whiskeys and people buy it. It's not it's not just Macallan puts out we talked about last time that Whistlepig put out a $500 retail bottle.
Good Lord.
And it's I don't know if anyone's gonna buy that. I hate to say it,
I'm but sure people will though.
Probably people will, and they do have a reputation, but Macallan, they sell at auction some of these older bottles for millions almost.
Yeah.
And I respect Macallan to take their distilling seriously. If they change the recipe or change the process in any way, I know that they have some knowledge backup to know what they're doing. Of course, they don't deal too often with the actual American whiskeys. But it's not they're going to make a scotch in America.
But also, here's the thing is, I'm sure they keep up on it.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
They're huge whiskey producers. Yeah. And so I'm sure they're up to date on what's going on in America.
Yeah, I think it could be a great
thing. It's not like they're going to come in and, you know, take a crap into it. You know, they're mm-hmm. they're going to come in and be trying to make, they're going to try and take a great product and make it even better.
Yeah. I want to say Brown Forman, they own Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
But I believe they also own Glendronach.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't ruin Glendronach.
That's
know what
true.
I mean? They kept it amazing.
That's true.
And they're an American company, so it's kind of the opposite way around. But yeah, I think it could be a great thing.
I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
So next week, Cole, we are drinking Stranahan's Colorado whiskey. Yep. It's not a bourbon. Not a rye. Yep.
Not a rye.
It's just a whiskey.
Yep.
Right.
It has its own special process and mash. We'll talk about it next week, but it is very special.
Comes with a nice little tin
jigger,
yeah. as you call it.
Yeah.
Again, a Colorado whiskey. It's Stranahan's. It's 47% ABV, 94 yep. proof. And if you want to drink this with us next week, Total Wine has it going for about $43, yep. maybe give or take $10. Probably, but though 43 is probably about right. And so I'm looking forward to this. This is something that's new to my collection.
Yeah.
I've never had it before. And
I've
so
been
I'm
to looking, the distillery twice.
You have. Okay. Yeah. So maybe you'll be able to tell us some stuff about it.
Yeah.
So that's next week. Looking forward to that. You know, you were just talking about, something that made me think about your, you know, actuary sciences and things like that. Maybe you can become the person at a insurance agency who helps whiskey collectors evaluate their collection and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be a perfect job for
fun
you.
Fun job.
I hope you get that job. But Cole, do you know what I hope most?
I hope that our love of spirits lifted yours.